Welcome to the podcast. As a listener, you're invited to claim your comp pass for our next live full-day Software Oasis virtual AI event with the world's top B2B AI experts. By attending, you'll join our engaged community of founders and executives from over 200,000 leading B2B global organizations. AI won't take your place, but a competitor leveraging it to drive results will. Learn the latest in AI first Thursday of every month. Tap green button at softwareoasis.com or use show notes link to secure your pass. I'd like to welcome everyone to this week's edition of the Consulting Spotlight. I am your host, Michael Bernswag, founder of Software Oasis. And this week, we're actually joined by Laurie Thomas Ross. She is the founder over at Web Marketing Therapy. And with that, Laurie, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
Yeah, no, I'm very, very excited. I know we spoke a little while back, and I'm glad that we're able to take a deep dive on some of the tips and strategies that you've used over the years to help clients. And was hoping maybe you could share with some of our guests who may not be familiar with you or with Web Marketing Therapy a little bit about your journey and a little bit about everything going on over there at Web Marketing Therapy.
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, I did not set out to be the marketing therapist and founder and CEO of a company called Web Marketing Therapy. I started my career in sales. I worked in luxury retail for Saks Fifth Avenue and major designer brands. And I just love people. I loved getting to know people and found myself through just making great contacts, getting plucked out of my safe, secure job in management at Saks Fifth Avenue by a personal shopping client who said, you should drop out of college and come work on the internet. And this was 1999. And yes, we did party like it was 1999. It was a wild time. And sure. My first email address ever was laurie@thiscompany.com. And I was thrust into this wacky, wild, wonderful web world. And I've seen the highs and I've seen the lows and I've seen, you know, the onset of social media now, just the, you know, amazing breakthroughs that we're seeing with AI. And when I transitioned from being in sales, which was my, you know, online advertising, all of that, I was asked at a corporation to start running marketing. And at first I thought, well, that's not the right fit for me. And they said, well, actually, you'd be perfect because who better to negotiate with our salespeople and to, and I mean, just by default, I was young. I knew more than most people did at that time and just was willing to say yes. And I just fell in love with marketing. And it took the really, you know, myopic sell career I had into this just depth of branding and language and being able to support organizations on such a bigger scale to support sales through marketing, and just fell in love with it. And by gosh, I mean, probably, you know, 5-6 years into that, I was asked by UC Santa Barbara. I'm from California. I'm in Atlanta now. But back then I was asked to teach. And at first I said no. And they said, well, but you're an industry veteran. And I was like, who, me? And,
I love it.
And it was such a gift to get to translate everything that I was doing into training mostly small business owners and entrepreneurs who were taking my classes nights and weekends, or marketing managers at corporations. And then Berkeley picked up my classes through their extension program. And that was just so powerful to where my career was going. And I found myself just in love with the small business owners and entrepreneurs that would come in and out of my classroom. And, you know, at many corporate jobs later and all the safe, secure, you know, six-figure plus jobs, I decided to let go of the ledge and do what I loved, which was working with entrepreneurs and helping them make their marketing better. My company was not originally called Web Marketing Therapy, but my clients who did not know each other would repeatedly say, you are my marketing therapist. Oh my gosh, Lori, I feel so much better. You took all the stress away. I actually enjoy marketing now. Down to like, girl, I got to get on your couch again. Like I, and so I started paying attention to these patterns.
Both ends of the same pendulum, right?
Right. And I was like, I'm onto something. And, you know, again, you know, Michael, I was at, you know, in this world at a time when it was still not new, but newish.
Well, it was the wild, wild west of internet advertising. I mean, you had all kinds of different online, you know, no one really even understood what the how to monetize it. You had
right. And there was the art of marketing and there's the science of marketing, right? There's all the geeky SEO stuff and the analytics for advertising. And while I speak both art and science of marketing, I found myself operating from a place of heart, which was different, especially at that time from a bunch of mostly male agency owners in California where I lived, who said all the time, we compete. And I was like, I don't think we compete. I believe in cooperation. I believe that maybe we'll have mutual clients and you might do some things really well, but we might come in and do X, Y, Z.
Sure. You can really partner with a lot of organizations to help your clients at the end of the day.
Yeah. And so we rebranded as Web Marketing Therapy and I had people tell me not to, and it was too weird. And I just thought, you know what? My biggest risk is not aligning what I do extremely well, which is that optimization, healing, you know, make things better. And it helped me attract my dream team. I mean, the employees I work with, I mean, many years have been with me since the beginning. And they aligned with my, not just our value as a firm, but our values. But it also gave us this blue ocean, if you will, to differentiate ourselves, but also to align with ideal clients. And important to say, to repel the wrong types of clients.
Which is myself, just as important. You know,
yeah, really, I wasn't wasting my time with the wrong people because my message and my value proposition were so streamlined. And that was huge. So yeah, 19 years later, you know, here I am and still working with amazing and, you know, inspirational, intentional leaders and making marketing better and just really putting those puzzle pieces together so marketing clicks.
So let me ask you, as far as, so in the early days, what, you know, at that time, I remember a lot of the early search engines. Obviously, you had, even Google at that time was really more of a directory than a search engine. You had Ask Jeeves and AltaVista and GoTo and Overture and all these other search engines where a lot of the traffic originated. But what were some of the early ad agencies online at that time?
Oh my gosh, well, they were the traditional agencies. They were the, you know, Publicis and, you know, those kind of firms. Some are no longer around. You know, the dot-com bust wiped out a lot of the, you know, firms. But it was a lot of traditional agencies that were being asked by clients to get into the space. And there was, I mean, online advertising was really the beginning. And it was those obnoxious banner ads that you'd see on websites. And that was the beginning. There was, you know, SEO was just starting to take flight. Affiliate marketing was something that was working at the time. And it was also, it was a little more, there was an ignorance in 99 and even in the early aughts of, you know, just buying impressions, which was the old traditional marketing model, especially in like magazines. And then suddenly you have this brand new, almost, you know, misunderstood platform that was also speedy, trackable, flexible. And what it allowed organizations to do was start to understand and really analyze. And so costs were minimized. It was like, oh, if we buy a traditional magazine ad, but then we pair it with this, like we can bring our costs down.
How the different types of media could together and And you've probably seen a whole revolution in terms of from where things were in terms of analytics and tracking and ROI and all of that, you know, in the early days to today, you know, it's obviously to the nth degree.
It's so, and what I love is that the elitism of marketing went away with the onset of digital, and it leveled the playing field so that any organization, large, small, big revenue, small revenue, solopreneur, whatever, started, like, had a place and space in the landscape to actually play. And you could either be a riches in the niches business or a sell to the masses and live with the classes. But because of the ease of, you know, launch, whether you call it like, you know, on the fly, whatever, it gave these organizations the ability to be there, but also to track. I think about now with things like Google Analytics and Google Ads, you can't see how gray my hair is, you know, on the Zoom, but the the ability now to just open a dashboard and track is phenomenal. I was downloading Excel spreadsheets and manually calculating ROI on Google ads back in the old days. And now all of that is there. And
it's almost like a lost art. Like if I think in one way, if you haven't been there and done that, it's hard to appreciate some of the capabilities that you do have today, which just out of the box are there for anybody, you know?
Agreed.
Yeah. So can you give me an example? Like, it sounds like you have clients across the spectrum in terms of the types of organizations, but you mentioned earlier that certain clients are a perfect fit and other clients not so much. Can you give me an example of kinds of clients that fit into the, maybe we'll call it like the mojo of your organization and are a good fit from both ends?
Yeah, great question. And we say at Web Marketing Therapy that admitting you need help is the first step. And there is that wanting of support, the do what you do best, have others do the rest. I could run my own website. I could write my own copy. I could do a million things. I could cut my own hair. Is that a good idea? Probably not. That's what you need a professional for. And so the psychological match of someone who knows whether it's my employees need training and we need you to come in and level us up, or we're doing everything right. Now what? To we have some holes that we need filled in, or we actually don't know what to prioritize and we need some pro opinions. Our ideal clients are ready and willing to receive help, but they're also intentional leaders. They are leaders who operate not just with high value, but incredibly high values, passion and purpose. And they're in it for the long game. You know, the types of clients that are like, we need to sell 50,000 of these things every day and da, da, da. I can do that. I did in the corporate world. It's not my happy, happy place. It's the clients who are, I started my law firm to do this, or I'm a coach, or I'm an author, and I want to build my credibility and my visibility and my sellability. And I want a creative team that can come in and help me do that on my terms. Those are the types of leaders that we align with. But there's always that spark. You know, I can't think of a client that we've ever supported that we haven't just been like the biggest cheerleaders for. Like, they're just rad humans.
I love it. I love it. And obviously, there's so many different, marketing is such an all-encompassing term, but there are so many different components. Obviously, you have everything from you know, on-page to off-page to social to digital to, you know, programmatic. You have all different kinds of advertising that clients are exploring. And so are you really helping clients first by advising them on the best strategies that are going to help them get to where they want to get to? Or are you, you know, what is it, both advising and implementing, or what is typical?
Yes, and it's all of the above. Great ideas are only great if they're executed brilliantly. And so while we come up with the creative ideas, if there is not a team in place to grab with the ideas and say, oh, great, we're going to do X, Y, Z. Yeah, I mean, there always is that, well, yes, and can you help us do this? And so we're a great team. There's 9 of us, and we have access to just phenomenal partners as needed for certain things. Like I always say, we do everything but video and PR. And yes, we come in, and just like in therapy, you know, we listen, we diagnose, prescribe, and guide. We don't work with anyone that we haven't had a long onboarding process with, and we see if we're a match, and we listen to their wants and needs. We listen to what's worked, what maybe hasn't worked, some goals, questions, concerns. And we have a 5-factor framework that we layer on top of any prospective client's marketing, and it's credibility, usability, visibility, sellability, and scalability. And based on these 5 factors, we are able to map out what needs to be either addressed or maybe some new channels, some things that may need to be revisited. And so when we work with any organization, we go into it knowing what to prioritize. What are the need to haves? What are the nice to haves? You know, there is no menu of services. In fact, we don't even have a services page on our website. We have one called solutions, because It's not about my company selling services. It's about us educating our fellow leaders on what their options are. And there's no one way to approach marketing. So empowering these leaders so they understand what their options are and what might be the best way to move forward. Actually, here's a great case in point. We just chatted with a client today who said, I really need more search visibility. And we said, well, what phrases are you thinking? And this leader shared. And we said, you're doing extremely well on these phrases and you're on the first page, not just your website, but your Google My Business. Right. And as we talked, this thought leader said, you know what I really loved were when I was doing more of those interviews. And maybe you guys helped me write more articles on other websites in the name of this particular avenue. And so it was a creative brainstorm. And had we just myopically said, oh, you want more SEO? Here's our quote. We were like, yeah, let's get on a Zoom and let's talk and let's ideate. We walked away and the answer was actually online PR, which we do. I can't get you in Success Magazine or like, you know, the cover of Forbes, but online PR, absolutely. And so our team walked away just super excited and energized, and we're super clear on what to do. So yeah,
it's exciting. I think, you know, it's brainstorming is half of getting to where you hope to get to. Mm-hmm. You know, what are some of the, like when a client first comes to you, is there a typical state that you see clients at when they first arrive on your doorstep, in terms of, do you see clients in a few certain spaces when they first arrive, or are they really all over the board in terms of the challenges?
Ah, that is such an interesting point to ponder, because there are commonalities and there's usually some desire to do more or to be better, you know, whether it's, you know, there's often the, I just need someone I can trust who's going to not pitch me, but who's actually going to listen and educate me. And we do see clients all across the board. It could be the solopreneur that is writing books on the side and wants to get more mileage out of these amazing resources. And we also have clients where we sign NDAs that say we can never say we've worked with them, and they have full teams and they just need experts that can come in and diagnose and say, do this, do that, change this, tell your paid search company XYZ, or here's something else, or you need to get some better reports in place and here's the templates for you. And we hand back the recommendations and the team goes, great, we're done. And so, and sometimes it's training. So it's advisory training and marketing management, all very custom, and we can adapt and grow with clients. So as a company might grow and they might bring on teams, sometimes we have virtual assistants that our clients hire that are amazing. And we give them guardrails of, here's your Canva template. So for social media, all of your fonts are consistent. And that stuff may sound really small, but little things like that do make a big difference.
Interesting. And, you know, can you bullet point, are there like certain common mistakes that you see clients making when they're in that search phase for trying to find the right marketing professionals?
Great to think about it from a bullet's perspective. The first thing that I think of as the first bullet is to operate from a place of fear. Any marketing is about maximizing relationships, and it's not just relationships with clients and prospective clients, but it's also maximizing relationships with your vendors, with your consultants, so that you have people who are an extension of your team that you really trust and love working with. And so if an organization or a consultant is making you feel scared or uncomfortable or even like a loser, I joke that, you know, there's consultants and there's insultants. And right, if you want someone to come crap all over your organization and leave, seagulls are cheaper. Like, just do that. Yeah. But to have someone that makes you feel at ease and isn't like this, you know, you have to sign now or your site's going to, you know, never be found in Google again. So no fear. And also being open-minded. The three most dangerous words are, I know that. And so anyone who is a little too much of a know-it-all or thinks they know everything, my famous phrase is, help me understand. And when a leader is, or a marketing manager is, open to being, you know, educated, then that is super valuable. I feel like this is another bullet that ties into fear, is that fear of letting something go. Do we really need to buy all those Google ads? Maybe we do just a small percentage of that, or maybe we hit the pause button and see where things fall. That kind of stuff is always a barrier to success. Another thing is trying to do it all yourself, which I, you know, joked that I can cut my own hair. Is that a good idea? No, it's not. Just because you can do it doesn't mean it's the best use of your time. If you're a lawyer, you need to be lawyering. If you're a doctor, you need to be seeing your patients. That doesn't mean you should be on Google Ads on a Friday.
At the end of the day, every client that you have has a core business that they're running, which is really where their time is best spent.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So as far as different channels, because you've seen such a journey in terms of channels over the years, do you have, if a client comes to you and says, you know, we're totally focused on paid advertising, and that's where they, you know, the lever that they want to pull, do you have some new favorite paid channels that you've seen come to light over the last couple of years that didn't exist in the past that are really starting to light it up for some of your clients that are pulling that lever?
It depends on the type of client, but we are seeing, we have clients doing Roku ads, you know, which are more like TV type placements. Google Ads is still very strong. You have different types of demographic or even like job title targeting through LinkedIn. It will depend on the network. And another thing that I can think of that is just, and actually I've seen clients investing in tools like, you know, whether it's online PR tools, way to get more interviews, those kind of things. And yeah, as far as, you know, there's paid media, there's earned media. I do see a lot more shift, not even shift, but more attention on personal branding. And what we are finding is even in analytics, you'll see leaders' names, employees' names that are pulling in search results, bios on the websites. And then we look at their LinkedIn and we're like, this leader hasn't, like, this is such a dated profile. Yeah. And how do we creatively create a digital footprint, not just for the organization, but the people who are representing the organization that are all feeding the visibility into the company. So, you know, the brand called you and your thought leadership, whether it's blogging, writing for other publications, doing podcasts, has become something that we are seeing more and more, not just attention on, but more of an appreciation for.
Yeah, and obviously more important. So, I mean, the other big shift that I'm seeing on this end of the mic is, and you can tell if you follow Google closely, they're kind of shaken because there's a huge shift away from traditional search. And I don't know about you, but I start my day with most searches through some form of AI, whether it's, you know, ChatGPT or Perplexity or, you know, Gemini or some other channel.
Yeah.
Versus Google or Yahoo or Bing or any of those spaces. So how do you see AI affecting things in terms of search? And, you know, a lot of these AI channels don't have paid advertising as a component. You know, they're really more pure, kind of like the good old days of search, you know, just information.
I've, you know, AI has been a part of Google for so long that it doesn't feel new to me. And as someone who's seen the search engine results pages morph and evolve over the years,
right,
I'm so used to the only constant being change, and to see how great content, you know, while there's new technologies and new user experiences, the power of things like well-written content and, you know, super high value podcasts and all of that, that content is now coming into AI and being a part of the mix. And it's so inspiring and it's exciting. And I am seeing just the payoff of hard work in the classics of marketing. You know, content is not king, it's the whole kingdom. Yeah. And seeing those start to come up more and more. But like you, like with AI, I look at AI I'm on it all the time. I think of it as like my virtual sparring partner, you know, where
it's like the ultimate assistant, you know, in many ways. I mean, I think in some ways, if you're not using some of the tools out there, you know, just even like you mentioned with, you know, downloading things from spreadsheets versus using a lot of the dashboards and a lot of the tech that can, you know, do some of that heavy lifting so that you can use your brain to really analyze what you're seeing. I think it's the same thing with AI, but I think, you know, at a high level, it's interesting to see the decline in traditional search, the rise of AI search, and I guess the other side of that's kind of interesting to me is if you look at Google, they just dominate in terms of traditional search. They don't dominate in terms of AI. They're not the market leader. So it's a very strange place for them. And I mean, I think they have, you know, through some of the search generated algorithms included AI in some of the traditional search results, but it does get really expensive because they're not able to monetize in the same way that some of these AI, you know, everyone's fighting for market share at this point. It's not so much even a profit type of thing for a lot of these companies. So,
yeah,
I just thought that was interesting. What now? The other trend that I've seen over the last year or two is a lot of smaller companies are starting to look at some of the programmatic advertising options. And, you know, obviously they can get themselves into hot water pretty quick with some of these.
Yeah.
Do you see it as just the same old beer with a new head, or what do you think?
You know, I am always open to options, and coming from being a seller of online advertising, I think I have a different perspective too, in that advertising is a long game investment. You create, you execute, you monitor, you rinse, repeat. And what is important for people to realize is that you don't have to like go big, right? You can start small and snowball. And there's, you know, there's always options, and, you know, it's making sure that it's done in a way that is relevant, that it makes sense for the brand. It's on brand, it's on purpose. It's all about targeting, you know, going back to online any type of advertising, it's about targeting. It's about reach. It's about results. So, you can't just throw something out there and expect results. Like, you really have to be invested in this long term, not just money. You don't just throw money at it, but who's going to measure it? How is it going to be optimized? And, you know, that's a whole other team of experts that are driving that. You know, we are seeing the power of some of this, you know, automated buying and selling. It still requires a human to, you know, look at it and to be that critical
to interpret thinker. And understand what's going on. So can you share for our listeners maybe an example of a real life client, whether it's one you want to mention or not, and what life looked like for them prior to working with your team versus after, and some of the results they saw and the transformation along the way?
Gosh, there's so many. I think
or just a favorite.
Yeah,
story.
I think of one of my early clients who hired me to help make his site more search friendly, and they had a, you know, I think at the time it was probably a $12 million a year practice. They were in the financial services space, and it grew to a $21 million a year space. And we went way beyond search. I mean, I get paid to be good, not nice sometimes. And I just said, look, your site is really amateur looking, and I know you would like me to make this site optimized, but that's like, you're going to be flushing money down the toilet. You need to elevate your brand. Your logos are inconsistent. You need this, you need branding. So we do it once and we get some guidelines, and then we need a new website, but you have a huge website, so we need to find another firm and I can help you with that. And then, you know, I'll make sure that the site's search friendly. And then we need to start creating content and taking your thought leadership and tying in the radio ads you're buying and things like that. And so we created a whole new platform for this organization. And then that founder decided he was done, which happens, right? You know, you can run a business for only so long until sometimes, you know, partners may change goals. And we helped this client exit the business, and we created SOPs, you know, as standard operating procedure documents for the new in-house marketing guy. I think it was the son of one of the leaders. And we helped this person create a whole new brand for a whole new business. And so I feel like that's like a cool example of the power of web marketing therapy. Yeah, that as an agency, we walked away from a $40,000 a month account because this thought leader that we loved working for was ready to exit, and we were cheering him on, and we closed that out and empowered the new team and helped him start a new business. And so that's like one example of just
it's the right thing to do. So, you know, and obviously sometimes you see something that has so many challenges that they need to just start over again. And that's sometimes the best advice you can give.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. So as far as any of the individuals that are listening to this podcast that may be struggling with getting a cohesive strategy together and kind of pulling things together, as they're exploring different options, do you have a short list of things that they need to have at the top of their mind as they're looking at different options?
Marketing is holistic, just like health, right? You don't go to the gym every day and eat, you know, Nerds gummy clusters, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and expect to get results. You know, it's all interconnected. So that's why I would go back to our five-factor framework, and that's credibility, know, like, and trust. Usability: is your site easy to use? If your services are not clear, or someone has to scroll to the deep, dark, fiery pits of your website to figure out something that should be front and center, that's user experience. Visibility: are search best practices in place? How are you ranking? What could you be doing more of? You know, are your competitors doing things that, you know, you may not want to pay attention to, or are there some blue oceans? Social media is part of the mix. Online PR, advertising, and sellability: why you versus someone else? And that is a big education piece in the power of copywriting and clear, compelling copy. And then lastly is scalability. It's investing versus spending. What makes sense? And there are times when it may be wise to scale back on something that may have worked 2 years ago, or maybe the landscape has changed, or maybe the Google search results have changed, and what was serving you may not be the best use of time. And so it can also just be optimizing budget, optimizing partner relationships. You know, I hear the stories all the time of, I don't get a response from my agency usually for a couple days, and I usually have to text. And I'm like, that is unacceptable, right? That is not ideal. Or I have a social media team and they send me stuff with typos. Like, that's not acceptable. And just owning,
especially with all the modern tech, right?
It's so true, right? There's Grammarly. I mean, even Word will underline stuff. So anytime you're not getting the level of service that, you know, you're paying for, that's time to reevaluate. So yeah, it's looking at the holistic picture, and it can be, you know, gosh, I mean, we see clients who've changed their model of what we used to go after client-wise is different, or we really want to do more of this because this is more lucrative for our company, or we really want to sell more of these because we're sitting on a ton of inventory. And that's going to be a very different conversation. So yeah, but looking at those five factors gives you a lens of what is working, but also areas that could be improved. And then those are the things that you can prioritize. And that's a big pain point for marketing, is what do I do first? The cool thing is there's so many options, but it's also overwhelming. And so how do you start? And looking at the five factors can give you that that holistic lens to make smart
next steps. I'm going to ask you one final question, because before these episodes, we always take a lot of audience feedback. And there was one question that kept coming in different ways from different angles. And I think a lot of execs out there are kind of wondering, you know, when they're working with your agency, is it once the plan is laid out and things are being implemented, are they working with a team? Are they working with an individual account manager? What is the strategy for how an account is managed?
It's a dream team, and I am very involved still to this day. I talk to every prospective client. We are a boutique agency, and that's part of our values, and that's my magic as the marketing therapist. But with our whole team, there's 9 of us, then depending on what the needs are, if it's writing, if it's heavy website optimization, if it's search optimization, but there are always at least 2 to 3 contacts so that our clients are able to get the support. You know, we've had clients in the New York Times this week that want to get that up on their website. They, sure. You know, and so we are always dividing and conquering, if you will. And we are also leveraging our resources as needed. And so it's not like you're paying for something you're not getting. So if phase 1 is optimization, you might work with a couple of our team members and then move in to something else. One thing I hear over and over and over again from our clients and even partners that we work with is, wow, you have such a great team. Like, wow, like they're just, everyone's so lovely to work with. And that is essential. Like I get up every day because I thoroughly enjoy what I do, but I truly love the people that I get to work with. And
I love it. And that's so, so important. I mean, it does not matter what you're doing, what industry you're in, what type of business, you know, waking up every day and loving what you're doing is so important. And I can hear the pride coming through, you know, obviously female owned, female led, and it sounds like the entire team there is all on the same page. So that is very encouraging. We're going to leave in the show notes a link for anybody that would like to reach out to you to explore a little bit further. And I want to thank everybody for joining us today and for this deep dive. For anyone that is joining us for the first time by chance, we have 3 different podcasts. This podcast, The Consulting Spotlight, The Software Spotlight, and Career Spotlight, all 3 focused on technology. And today we've had Laurie Thomas Ross, the marketing therapist over at Web Marketing Therapy, joining us live. And for anybody that's not subscribed, you can head over to softwareoasis.com/subscribe and join our weekly email marketing newsletter that includes all kinds of tips, data, and research. So once again, Laurie, thank you for taking the time and joining us on the Consulting Spotlight today.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Thanks for tuning in to the Software Oasis Podcast Network with more than 200,000 listeners each month. You're invited to join our engaged community of B2B founders and executives at our next live full-day Software Oasis virtual AI event with the world's top B2B AI experts. Reserve your comp pass today, get ahead with real AI strategies, join the first Thursday of every month. Tap green button at softwareoasis.com or use show notes link to claim your spot today.